Hello, and welcome to our program, SA Lights, brought to you by Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Bradford Lundeen. During the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from SA Lights, The Light Within. The Express News honors SA Lights, members of our community who serve others through their acts, ideas, and inspirational example, here on Owl Radio. 4 decades of service to San Antonio, Pierce has been an advocate of the arts and chair of the city's inaugural MLK Commission. This was written by staff writer Vincent T. Davis. About 10,000 people gathered at the Freedom Bridge for a 2-mile march on January 19th of 1987. Residents of all races walked side by side with public officials in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Then, Mayor Henry Cisneros recalled looking back on the hill near the Coleman Railroad Bridge underpass to see what he's called, quote, the best perspective of humanity, unquote. When Cisneros formed the MLK City County Commission in 1986, he chose community advocates to lead 13 committees. But when it came to naming the chair of the commission, several community advocates made a case for why they should hold the title. One such candidate was the Reverend Raymond A. Callis, who had led walks with family and friends on East Side streets. Cisneros would select Araneta Pierce, whose resume included a tremendous sense of history about the African-American community, accessibility to young people, and a pinnacle of respect across San Antonio. The commission brought civil rights icon Rosa Parks to the march. Members also worked with VIA to resurrect a bust from the 1950s that Parks and other participants, including State Representative Lou Nell Sutton, would ride during the citywide MLK march. Pierce visited local churches and invited congregations to build interest in the celebration. Cisneros said, quote, I can tell you without a doubt that the modern vision of the MLK March is because of Araneta's original vision. Araneta made it a broad endeavor that began with Dr. King's leadership advocacy, but extended to issues of broad justice, opportunity, and gratitude from the entire community. It's one of my favorite manifestations of San Antonio's sense of justice and inclusion. This march is evidence of it. And Araneta is the one who started it all, unquote. For more than 4 decades, Pierce has advocated for African-American art, the black community, and inclusiveness. She has served on more than 30 national, state, and local boards that include the San Antonio Museum Association, Fisk University Board of Trustees, and the San Antonio Spurs Foundation. In 1988, Cisneros, who chose Pierce as chair of the San Antonio Blue Ribbon Committee on the Arts. Among her accolades are inductions into the San Antonio Women's Hall of Fame and the Texas's Women's Hall of Fame. In 2007, Pierce was awarded the Humanitarian Award by the United Communities of San Antonio for promoting respect and understanding among all religions, races, and cultures. She was also awarded the Girl Scout Trefoil Award as an exemplar for girls. Pierce and her husband, Dr. Joseph A. Pierce, Jr., live in a Northside townhome adorned with African-American art and literature that reflect their passion. Framed portraits of their sons, Joseph Pierce and Michael Pierce, and their family line glass shelves. Bookcases swell with volumes by black authors that Joe Pierce, a retired anesthesiologist, began collecting 30 years ago. Among the collection is Roots by Alex Haley, who they met through a mutual friend, poet and playwright Maya Angelou. Francine Prosser Johnson, 63 years old, grew up keenly aware of Pierce's impact and influence. Pierce knew her parents, who taught Prosser Johnson there is a requirement to make change happen. The chief operating officer for South Texas Center for Pediatric Care said Pierce often works behind the scenes, offering knowledge and a sense of history to young African-American women. Prosser Johnson said, quote, "She is never afraid to be the loudest voice in the room about what is right or equitable. When I see her, she gives me an example of which to follow," unquote. Born in Somerville, Tennessee, Pierce was six when her family moved to Nashville during the Jim Crow era, which she called an apartheid-like period. Still, Pierce said, she witnessed greatness every day in her community, where she saw teachers, physicians, journalists, and the first black female surgeon. She grew up within walking distance of historically black colleges and universities, Meharry Medical College, Fisk University, and Tennessee State University. Pierce recalled sitting in the front row of Tennessee State Auditorium watching plays and concerts that included pianist Arthur Rubinstein and contralto Marian Anderson. Her parents, Clementine Loftes Hamilton and David Aaron Hamilton, stressed the importance of education. At age 16, she attended Tennessee State University, where her father was dean of the School of Agriculture. From 1959 to 1961, she studied French and then transferred to the University of Iowa, where she obtained a bachelor's in English and social science. Pierce said, quote, "Our lives were so rich, and that is what grounds our values. The richness of our legacy is so important for African Americans to know. That is what makes your back strong. It gives you dignity. For all of us here, some of our ancestors survived, so we can do whatever we can do. Therefore, it is a joy. It is not a hobby. It is not a job, but a commitment, so my people will be as strong and proud as anyone, against all odds," unquote. Pierce met her husband in 1960, when Joe Pierce was a student at Meharry. They shared the love of art and growing up in the communities of black colleges. They married in 1964. After graduation, Joe enlisted in the Army, and the couple moved to San Antonio for his three-year residency at Brooke General Hospital. During those years, Pierce taught at Riley Elementary, now Martin Luther King Academy. Retired psychiatry professor Dr. Leonard E. Lawrence, 84 years old, has known the Pierces since 1969 while assigned to Wilford Hall Medical Center as chief of psychiatry. They shared a capacity to plan ahead, and each, in their way, wanted to be helpful to the East Side community as a whole. Lawrence said, quote, "It's a commitment that originated with her family system, not by overt command, but by demonstration," unquote. In 1980, Pierce volunteered as a docent at the San Antonio Museum of Art after her husband saw an ad in the paper and suggested she apply for a position. Their first investment in African American art had been a purchase of four originals by artist John Biggers, who founded the art department at Texas Southern University, where Joe's father had served as president. The artist became their inspiration and taught them about African American art. The role at the museum was a perfect mix of art and teaching. It was also a revelation. A girl stopped Pierce while escorting a middle school class of African American students on a tour through the 19th century portrait art gallery. The girl said, quote, "There's something wrong here, Ms. Pierce. There are no black people on the walls in this building anywhere," unquote. That moment jolted Pierce. Pierce said, quote, "I was proud to be working with the arts. Then I realized we send our children to museums by bus, not by choice. We reinforce their inferiority by saying this is a magnificent place, and by the way, you're not included, only as visitors. It's an injustice to black children and to other children," unquote. As a museum board member, Pierce was influential in bringing the first survey exhibition of African American art to San Antonio. In 1987, the exhibition Hidden Heritage, Afro-American Art, 1800 to 1950, curated by David Driscoll, known as the Dean of African-American Art, was featured. Pierce said the little girl's curiosity made her realize the importance of exhibiting African-American art in museums for everyone to see. In 1990, they founded Premier Artworks to showcase black authors and artists across the nation. Now Pierce is one of the three tri-chairs of the Alamo Citizens Advisory Committee. Pierce said, quote, "The story of slavery is analogous to the beginning of the Republic of Texas, and it must be recognized in order to understand how Texas became the biggest producer of cotton," unquote. The Pierce's work is a continuation of their ancestors' legacy that education and knowledge are power. Pierce says lives by a saying of Angelou, her close friend, quote, "History, despite its wrenching pain, cannot be unlived, but if faced with courage, need not be lived again." Second profile this morning, working to make AI a reality, UTSA researcher seeks to draw San Antonio's unrepresented students into the field. This was written by staff writer Eric Killia. In the farming village where Teresa Kudithipurdi was born in southern India, most of the girls were married by their teenage years. But Dithipurdi's mother, who had a high school diploma, had encouraged her daughter's academic studies, and her father, an electrical foreman, introduced her to the technology he encouraged in his travels. The homegrown motivation helped her decide to pursue the degrees in computer and electrical engineering that led her to San Antonio, where she leads a group of researchers attempting to build artificial intelligence, computer systems that can adapt and learn how to perform tasks like humans. She says, quote, "We see AI as technology that is going to help humans. Whether we accept it or not, these AI systems are everywhere around us, and you're doing your Netflix search or buying something on Amazon or Target, AI is around us already in ways that we don't see or realize," unquote. From her post as director of the Matrix AI Consortium for Human Well-Being at the University of Texas at San Antonio, the 43-year-old has another goal, recruiting diverse talent from San Antonio. She said, quote, "It hits home for me, since I'm first generation. It's our responsibility to train these students and equip them with skills," unquote. Since its inception 2 years ago, Matrix has pulled together researchers from various academic disciplines from UTSA, UT Health San Antonio, Southwest Research Institute, and Texas Biomedical Research Institute. Their mission, quote, "to conduct transformative research in the design, use, and deployment of AI that enhances human life, and to offer rigorous research training opportunities that transcend disciplinary boundaries," unquote, according to its 2021 annual report. Kudithipurdi leads the charge on classified and non-classified research for clients including the U.S. Air Force and Sandia National Labs in New Mexico, the Xilinx, a tech and semiconductor manufacturing company in California that was just acquired by AMD. She said, quote, "This is a very unique time that we are in right now with AI technology because we are working with industry. We are helping them solve these problems, and the students are able to be on the front end," unquote. The Matrix Consortium is made up of researchers and professors from a wide range of academic fields. They include medical engineering, neurology, computer science, mathematics, infectious disease, geological sciences, urban planning, modern languages, radiology, automation, and psychology. She said, quote, "We are trying to bring researchers, scientists, and students together under one umbrella to design and deploy AI solutions to help human well-being in any form that we can help boost human performance, help human perform tasks more efficiently," unquote. And Kudithi Purdy is focused on recruiting diverse talent from San Antonio. She noted that just 5% of current AI workforce in the United States is from underrepresented groups. That means Matrix has an opportunity to reach young people on a campus where more than 65% of the student population comes from such groups. Her outreach has found many avenues. Kudithi Purdy has been an advisor for the Project Loveless, a project offering opportunities for young women in STEM fields to encourage in research and participate in seminars and workshops. Under her leadership, Matrix also hosts educational programs for students and the public. Every fall and spring semester, AI researchers give seminars on algorithms, theory, systems, and autonomy. Matrix has also partnered with MISI, Dreamport, and Big Bear AI, both from Maryland, to run a symposium on AI and quantum computing to discuss how the technologies will fundamentally change how people interact with data. Matrix next is partnering with the City of San Antonio Research and Development League to collaborate on innovation-related projects for the community. Kudithi Purdy called her mom, quote, had big dreams, unquote, for her, and as she was growing up in southern India. And her father, her role model, bought Kudithi Purdy her first computer when she was in the sixth grade, a rarity in the farming village. He also gave her and her younger brother Atari-branded video games. They were told to figure out how to play the games without instruction manuals. She said, quote, "Our father gave us the opportunities to look beyond where we were," unquote. When she finished high school, the family moved to the city of Hyderabad, now known as the tech capital of South Central India. Following her father's professional path, she received her Bachelor of Technology degree in Electrical and Economics Engineering from Acharya Nagarajana University in 1998. Sorry for their pronunciations. She said, quote, "It was hardcore designing and thinking about power grids and hands-on technology," unquote. She was not thinking about AI at the time. Between 1999 and 2002, she pursued her master's degree in computer engineering at Wright State University in Ohio. While her interest was in building hardware for computer chips, she took a course in neural networks, which involved studying computer systems that reflect the behavior of the human brain to recognize patterns in data sets. In 2002, she was accepted to a postdoctorate program for electrical and computer engineering at UTSA. I was working still on hardware design, but trying to make systems low power and energy efficient, she said. But in her second year of the PhD program, she read a paper from MIT professor Ron Weiss, a pioneer in synthetic biology. Its work using DNA synthesis and gene sequencing is making cells to increase food production, combat disease, and generate energy, as some examples. She said, quote, "He showed how computer happens in biology," unquote. Adding that she went to a local biology professor to work on such a project, she was willing to extend her studies to do so, but found no one was working on the subject. Kudithi Purdy next worked as a professor from 2006 to 2019 at the Rochester Institute of Technology in New York. She was still interested in designing energy-efficient computing, but shifted into biology again. This time she was looking at how brains process information and thinking about how she could bring that processing into computing. As director of the Neuromorphic AI, NUAI, lab there, her research team created AI platforms inspired by the brain that had continual learning abilities. For the fall 2019, UTSA recruiting 7 researchers as part of a quote, cluster hiring initiative in AI, unquote, according to the university. That year, Kudithi Purdy was brought onto campus to lead Matrix and to serve as the Robert F. McDermott Chair in Engineering and Professor of Electrical and Computer Engineering. Today, Kudithi Purdy lives with her husband, Surendra, an engineer she calls, quote-unquote, her rock. Together, they are raising 2 boys, ages 12 and 9. Typically, she does not bring her work home, but she laughed talking about how she brought circuits, quote-unquote, to her younger son for his birthday. Quote, I made them build circuits with Play-Doh, and the kids had a blast, unquote, she said, noting that she was introducing her children to forms of tech just as her father did for her. On one recent afternoon, Kudithi Purdy sat at her Neuromorph AI lab, one of about 25 labs tied to Matrix on the UTSA campus. Its name explains its function. Neuromorphic, quote-unquote, refers to a method of computer engineering focused on designing hardware and software modeled on the human brain and nervous system. She said, quote, the lab is interested in designing the next generation of AI systems that can solve complicated and natural tasks similar to what humans do. We want to do that in the most energy-efficient way, unquote. As Kudithi Purdy explains it, computers are better at number crunching while humans excel at recognizing patterns. Her team, quote, is trying to give the ability to machines that do not have the natural strength of pattern recognition, organic problem solving, and anomaly direction, unquote, she said. And they're trying to figure out how to make a computer learn over the course of many years as humans do. She added, quote, lifelong learning is the grand challenge of AI, unquote. Nearby, lab researchers work with a AI model called neurogenesis, quote unquote, that's learning continuously without forgetting, a contracted project for the Department of Defense. They design 3D computer simulations that use code to connect the model to a so-called agent, a digital drone, robot on Mars, or something anthropomorphic like a spider. Then they give the agent a task and watch how it interacts with the environment. Kudithi Purdy oversaw researchers who programmed a digital spider to perform several tasks. In one, a big spider was trained to chase a small spider around a maze. After about 50 tries, the small spider learned how to get away from its predator. In such projects, researchers input data to tweak algorithms to modify the AI behavior to perform the task. They say it is like evolution. Kudipurthy said, quote, when we are babies, we are learning the language, the names of things, and what is dangerous and what is okay to touch. A lot of these things we learn from our early stages of life, and then we use that knowledge for the rest of our lives. It's kind of similar with AI, unquote. Researchers made the models non-application specific. The goal is for the AI system to learn a sequential task, for example. Then a client like the Department of Defense can use the system for any number of tasks. Kudithi Purdy said, quote, whether it's a battlefield or other applications we cannot talk about, unquote. The researchers are trying to improve the speed at which an AI system learns to cut down power generation and ultimately cost for real-world applications. Kudithi Purdy said, quote, the hardware is a computer chip that can go into autonomous vehicles, drones, sensors, or satellites in space, unquote. She called, quote-unquote, dire the need for it to operate with low power. She said, quote, you would want more and features on your cell phone in the coming years. Currently, a lot of AI models on your cell phones, like facial recognition, that's the future we are working towards, to bringing this technology in compact form to the users, unquote. Such challenges drive her professionally. She said, quote, early on in my career, I was working on the research problems, but I've realized what makes me feel content or happy to go to work to see the solutions that we are building are making a difference in the world. You have been listening to SA Lights on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specialty tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience or on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Bradford Lundeen saying goodbye from Owl Radio. Take care. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.